2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is going along with our theme for the year. You know, if we want to be a church that brings glory to God, glory to the Lord, He said His church would give Him glory throughout all ages. That means right there that His church will always be here. It didn't disappear. It didn't have to get rediscovered at the Protestant Reformation. No, it's always been here, and that was never any of it. We never came out of the Catholic Church. We were never a Protestant. God's church has always existed. It's always been here. And He said right there that my church will, I'll get glory in my church throughout all ages. That means it's going to be here. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus said, once I started, this thing's going. It's going to be perpetual. It's going to be in perpetuity. That means it'll always be there. And again, we go back to the doctrine of Christ. You say, well, how do you know what a true church is? Well, they hold to the doctrine of Christ, to the not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. Those six principles are key. If a church doesn't hold to those six, they are not a church. They are not one of the Lord's churches. They don't have a candlestick. In other words, they have to hold to the doctrine of Christ. Okay, they have to. And many churches are missing it. The battlefronts today, I've mentioned this before, but I want to keep it before us. I want us to understand these truths. I want us to know why we do some of the things we do, why we take some of the stands that we take. And it's because of the doctrine of Christ guides really what we do. And I'm not going to get into a whole message on that, but I want to just let us know where the battlefronts are today. They're on repentance, they're on the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. That's where the battlefronts are today. They're in those doctrines right there, and they are doctrine. So if we want to remain a church that brings glory to Christ, we need to stay on those. But that's not just it. There's other things we need to stay on top of. And as we get into this, we want to look at all areas and maybe some areas we need to work on. I mean, as God, Jesus Christ, wrote those letters to the seven churches there of Asia in the book of Revelation, He says, hey, I've got somewhat against thee. You're doing some things good, but I've got somewhat against thee. I've got some issues with what you're doing. And we can all take heed from that. I mean, I ask God regularly. I'm like, Lord, hey, search me, Lord, and show me my heart and show me, Lord, even in this church, what we're doing wrong. What do we need to get right? Where are we wrong? Where are we maybe a bad balance? And Lord, sometimes you got to just kick us, you know, and get us right where we need to be. So I ask God to do that for us regularly, to just, Lord, help us, show us. If we're doing something wrong, show us. And that's why we've made many of the changes that we've made. That's why we got out of incorporation. We had incorporated. That's why we got out of it, because God was just like, hey, get over there. You're on the wrong path. I was like, oh yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir. That's just what we did, because we were wrong. So we decided to get right. You know, our baptism and ordination wasn't right. Mine wasn't. So, hey, what do you, get over there. You keep going. The trail's over there. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, we just get going where He leads us because, hey, we want to follow His Word. And we can be wrong. But His Word's always right.
Amen.
And we follow that. We let that dictate what we do. So one of those areas that we need to glorify God in is that we're strong in His Word. And I believe this church loves the Word of God. I believe that because many of the things we've done weren't easy. It wasn't easy to make some of the decisions that we made. But we did it because we're strong in God's Word and we have a love for it and we want to follow it. We want to submit to the Word of God. Now, every one of us, especially preachers, we need to have the right view of the Word of God and our responsibility to preach exactly what God says. Exactly what God says. Especially preachers, we need to have the right view of the Word of God and be willing to preach exactly what God says. He says there, 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. And then we're going to get into the rest of this chapter as we move through this. But he's preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But God lays before us a charge, before every preacher. I charge thee therefore before God. And that charge is specifically to testify on behalf of the Lord. That's what it's to do, to testify on behalf of the Lord. What God says is what we're to say. And He gets right into it in verse 2. He says, preach the Word. We're to testify on behalf of God. We're to say what God has said and not change it, not back down from it, not water it down, but to preach exactly what He says, exactly how He tells us to say it. It's incumbent on every preacher to do that. And the pressure, whether it's put on ourselves, whether it's from within a congregation, whether it's from without, the pressure to compromise, to water the message down is always there. It will never leave. Never. Never. Now, there's some things that are easier to preach. But there's some things that you get up and you just say, I do not want to preach this. So-and-so is going to think I'm preaching right to them, and I'm not. And it's going to hurt their feelings. And you don't want to preach it. If I preach this, people might leave. And no preacher wants that. No preacher. That's a real fear, by the way, for preachers. That someone's going to leave. We're going to lose a family, maybe two families, maybe three families. The two biggest decisions we've made in this ministry was one, to get out of incorporation. Two, for me to get biblical baptism and ordination. And then all of you had to get baptized that wanted to join with us. Those are the two biggest decisions. And each time I went into bringing those issues before our church, as the Lord was guiding and leading me. And by the way, before I ever just brought it and threw it out in front of us, I was already laying the principles in the preaching. I was already laying the groundwork in the preaching before I ever just, here it is, boom. I was already teaching you. But every time before I brought those up, I was praying to God, God, I pray we don't lose families. I pray we don't lose families. I pray people don't leave because we're following Your word. And if it was up to me, I didn't want to do it, to be honest with you. I mean, God worked on my heart for like a year about getting, maybe longer, I lose track of the time, but maybe a year, year and a half about getting baptized. I knew it and I just pushed it to the side. I'm like, no, my baptism's good. It's okay. Because I didn't want to do it because I knew what it would mean. I knew what it meant. And I didn't want to do it. But we have to preach the word. We have to preach what God says. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Keep my commandments. That's for preachers too. That's for preachers too. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's part of it. That's part of it, that we would follow that. So it's incumbent on us that we preach exactly what God says. The God-called preacher is a mouthpiece for God, and it's a responsibility we cannot back down from. We're His mouthpiece. We represent Him. He put us here for this purpose. Every Christian actually is a mouthpiece for God, but especially the preachers. Because the preachers are the ones that are going to teach doctrine, and the people are going to learn that doctrine and then go from there. Now, obviously, all of us need to learn the Bible. All of us need to know the Bible. But God put a pastor there to teach you. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So you need a preacher. He's the one that's going to be sound in doctrine, or should be sound in doctrine. So it's incumbent on every preacher to preach God's word, how He put it. We are His mouthpiece. And every preacher is going to stand before God and give an account of how we handle the word of God before the saved and before the lost. So before we jump more into this, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love You, Lord. Thank You for Your word. Please just help us, God, as we come before Your word. Help me to preach it just how it is. And God, to be faithful to You, I pray You'd help the preachers in here, Lord, to take this charge seriously, to testify on behalf of You, Lord. And so much goes into that, Lord, the manner in which we live, God, the lifestyle which we live, abstaining from the appearance of evil, Lord, setting a godly example. Lord, every man in here that says they're God called ought to set a godly example and the right proper example for every single other person in this church. And every person that visits this church should be able to look at them and say, that's the type of life I need to live. God, help us to be that example. Help us to take the charge seriously. God, I pray it would be more than just the preachers, but every single person in here would see the responsibility they have as an ambassador, a representative of You. Help us, God. And Father, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know You as their Savior, they've never been born again, they don't know their sins are forgiven, I pray today would be the day. Convict them. Let them be so miserable and uncomfortable in this service, Lord, that they're just begging to get saved. Please, God. Please speak through Your word to each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says there that, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, get this, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. That word quick means alive. Those that are alive, those that are dead. He's going to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Why does it say that? at his appearing and his kingdom. It mentions it like there's a difference. Now, when we get into the kingdom, it's understanding the three phases of the kingdom. But we'll get into that some more. But it does say at his appearing and his kingdom. What's that talking about there? Paul, right here, is giving a very solemn warning to every man of God that opens his book and preaches his word. This is a very serious warning that he's given. And each of us needs to take heed to that. Every single one of us, especially the preachers. Stepping into the pulpit is not something to be taken lightly. It's not. This is, as many have said, a holy desk. It's holy because what happens here is set apart. What happens here is special. It's very serious, and we shouldn't take it lightly to get up and be able to preach God's word. Something we have to take seriously. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like you're standing before God as a preacher. You stand before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Sunday, I'd say, as preachers get up to preach, it's like God, Jesus Christ and God the Father are standing there and they're looking down, watching, saying, how you gonna do for me, son? How you gonna do for me, son? It's solemn. Think about that. If you're in the throne room of heaven and you had to deliver a message on behalf of God, and God the Father and God the Son are standing there watching you, how serious would you take it? How holy would you approach coming before the people you're going to speak the message from the King? How serious it is. See, we remove ourselves from that aspect of it. So often we think, well, we're just here in this world. But God said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Our responsibility includes feeding the sheep. Go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This is Paul's message to the pastors there. Church of Ephesus, he's traveling through and he calls for them. He says, they need to come see me here. I have something I need to tell them. And he's giving them this charge right here as well. And this would be just an excellent passage. I can't wait to in 5 years when we get here on Wednesday nights going through the book of Acts. I can't wait to preach on this. I hope maybe it'll take 5 years. I don't know. I mean, I've been on one verse. I think this is the third week on Sunday mornings. So Acts chapter 20, verse 28 tells us, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To do what? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's an excellent example of, in defense of the deity of Jesus Christ, feed the church of God, so it's God's, which he purchased with his own blood. Well, who died for the church and shed his blood? Jesus Christ, he's God. But what does it say? Paul says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Who? What does he tell the preachers? Look to yourself. Look at yourself first. Take heed unto yourself. Look at yourself first, and also to all the flock of God, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. See, that's right there. That's the bishop. That's the aspect of the office of the bishop, being the overseer. That's what that word is right there. It's the bishop. That's why Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if a man desire the office of a bishop, it's an overseer. You oversee everything. That means the pastor, he's the under-shepherd here. Okay? And some people get all weary about this and they get all scared. And I'm like, look, we know Jesus Christ is the head of the church, but he put somebody here in charge. Okay? It's an under-shepherd. And that's what the office of the pastor is. The office of the bishop is to oversee everything. That means in this church, in any biblical church, nothing goes on without the pastor saying if it can or can't. He's the overseer. I guarantee you, I'm going to answer to God for this church in ways you will never answer to God for. Amen. I will have to answer to God for it. I watch for your soul, the Bible says. As a pastor of this church, I watch for your soul, it says in Hebrews. I'm overseeing everything. If I allow false doctrine to come in to this church and it corrupts us and messes things up, you won't answer for that. I will. I will. See, that's where we get the other title, pastor. Is it shepherd? The shepherd. Well, guess what a shepherd does? He feeds the sheep. You could see both aspects of the office right here. You're the overseer, but what are you to do to feed the church of God? There's the pastoring. And that's one of the main jobs. That's what we're looking at right now. We need to be able to feed people the Word of God. Feed the sheep. You need to get fed good. Amen. You need to be plump and healthy, spiritually speaking. You know, when it talks about that the Israelites were going to go into a land flowing with milk and honey, you know what that meant? That term, flowing with milk and honey, meant that there was great pasture land that the cattle could feed on, the sheep could feed on, and you're going to get a lot of milk because they were going to be healthy. And flowing with milk and honey, it meant because it was so plentiful and the land was so blessed that there'd be, those bees are just churning out that honey. They're just pumping out that honey because the land was just so fertile. That's what it was talking about. A land flowing with milk and honey. We're to feed the sheep. That's what a pastor's job to do, is to feed the sheep. So, but what else does a pastor do? What else does a shepherd do? Does he just feed the sheep or what else? Huh? Protects the flock by running off the wolves. By running off the wolves, and he gets right into that. For I know this, verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Grievous wolves are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Get this, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. That's why Paul admonished Timothy to lay hands suddenly on no man. You don't just ordain anybody. Don't lay hands suddenly on them. Because of your own selves, men are going to arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after themselves. The pastor's job is to guard the church. Since I'm the one that's to know doctrine, that means before someone gets baptized, they have to essentially go through me. I have to determine that, yes, they're saved. No, they're not saved. If they come in with false doctrine, it's like, no, you can keep coming until you learn right doctrine. But if you don't agree with us, you're not going to join here. Because we're not going to have division here. We're not going to destroy the unity that we have here. That's part of the pastor's job. That's this. All of this right here includes feeding the sheep. Right now, feeding you and teaching you these things. That way you know, look, if I die tomorrow, you say, we need a pastor that's going to feed us, that's going to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, that's not ashamed to preach the Word of God. We know we need that. Someone who's going to guard the door to the church. We know we need that. You all need to know this. That's why we feed the sheep. Responsibility of every preacher is to feed the sheep, especially the pastor. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. This is Peter. He says, the elders which are among you. That's another title. That's a presbytery. Those are the three titles of the office. In English, it'd be elder, bishop, pastor. Okay? In the Greek, it's presbyteros, poimen, and I don't know why I can't remember the other one. Doesn't matter. Anyway, bishop, elder, pastor. We're about to see all three offices right here in this passage. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So he's talking to the pastors, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So he's talking to preachers. Here's what he tells them. Feed the flock of God which is among you. There it is. There's the pastor. You see the elder, the pastor right here. Feed the flock of God which is among you. That's why it's just three different titles for the same office. It's not three different offices like the Catholic Church and others. The Greek Orthodox want to break it up and say, oh, you're a bishop, you're an archbishop. You know, that means that I'm in charge of this section over here and this section over here. Oh, and then we got the granddaddy of them all, the papa. So did the pope. Daddy, father, that's what it means. And papa, pope. You won't find it in here, though. Amen. See, when we get away from sound doctrine, it messes up practice. Right. Destroys practice. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, the pope has taken for himself that he's Christ on earth. That's what he's, the vicar of Christ. I'm in the place of Christ on earth. That's what they mean. That's why they'll call themselves pope and they don't have a problem with it. They'll take all these titles to themselves that belong to Jesus Christ and him alone. All right, so the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. There it is, all three of them right there. The overseer, the shepherd, the elder. Every one of them right there. Same office. That's what we're to do. We're to feed the flock. We're to take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. To the faithful pastor, God says, I've got a crown of glory that will not fade away for you if you will take the oversight thereof, if you'll feed the flock. If you'll watch out for them, if you'll guard them, if you'll protect them, if you won't be a lord over them, but if you'll be an example to the flock, when the chief shepherd shall appear, what's that talking about? Hey, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing? That's what it's talking about right there. When I show up, guess what? I'm going to reward you if you're faithful. I'm going to reward you if you're faithful. But this is what God wants, not being a lord over God's heritage. See, this church is God's. It's not mine. I'm just a part of it just like you. But the responsibility God has given me in here is to be the under-shepherd, the elder, to take the oversight, to guide and lead this church. God's given me that. He's placed me here for that purpose. But I'm just one of you. I'm a sheep too. Think about that. Go figure all this out. I don't know. You're a sheep, but you got to guard the wolves. Yeah. Yep. That's what God says. Just like we saw about the Babylon. When a wolf came in, what did he say? He boldly withstood him. You've got no right or lot here. Get out. You can't come in here with your bloody hands, your wickedness. Get out. You have no authority in here. Leave. And the chains were slapped on him. And he lost his life. But he showed everybody in there. What was he? He was an example to the flock. He was an example to the flock. And sadly, today we got a lot of preachers that don't take that charge seriously. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're standing before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of preachers just bow down. And the example they give to the flock is you just submit and do whatever government tells you. You do whatever anybody else tells you. What this popular preacher over here tells you. They don't submit to the Word of God. And that's the problem with America. Is that preachers won't submit to the Word of God and preach the whole counsel of God. That I know a bunch of Baptist preachers were praising Billy Graham. I'm not at all happy Billy Graham died. At all. It breaks my heart because I personally believe, based on what he taught and what he preached, this is just my belief, I could be wrong, but based on what he taught, I believe the man's in hell right now. And that brings me no joy and no comfort to say that. But what breaks my heart more is the lack of discernment amongst many preachers. Amen. That they'll praise him and lift him up like he's something great. Even if he was saved, he taught false doctrine and led thousands, if not millions, astray. And we're going to say that's something good. Look, I bet Judas led some people to the Lord. I'll almost guarantee he did. He went out preaching with all of them. We're not lifting him up like he's something great. Preachers don't take their charge seriously that was given to them. They bow rather to the fear of man. But Paul, who, as he's writing this, is ready to face death, said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Was a charge. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. That's what Paul said. He was looking at himself as a living sacrifice. Verse 6 says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He was in prison writing this, knowing he was going to face death. And he says, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. This was a man that understood the charge that was before him. And it's a charge he put to other preachers. And sadly, most today don't understand the charge and they're not willing to take the mantle that's been given them. There's an Elijah, but there's no Elishas. Elijah told Elisha, he said, I want a double portion of what you've got, Elijah said to Elijah. Elisha to Elijah. Okay, no. All right. He said to him, I want a double portion of what you've got. And Elijah told him, he says, if you're with me, if you see me go, when God takes me, you'll have that double portion. And he stayed with him. He stayed with the man of God. And as that chariot of wind and whatever it was, however God took him, came, it was like a rapture. As it came, took him away, Elijah's mantle fell off, his scarf, or so to speak, whatever you want to call it, it fell off, and Elisha picked it up. There's Elijah's, there's been Elijah's, where are the Elisha's to pick up the mantle and to take the charge? We need men of God. We need bold men of God. Not men that are going to stand up, I'll fight them. That's not at all what we're talking about. That's foolish. But men of God who will stand for the Word of God and not back down on the Word of God. We've read about some of these martyrs. They were frail, older men. Some of them were just young boys, 14, 15 years old. Some of them, young girls even, 15 years old, 16 years old, and boldly stood for God, boldly stood for the Lord. We need more of that today. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a charge given to each and every one of us. Will we accept the charge? Will we accept the charge to testify on behalf of God? To speak what God has said. Every one of us, not just the preachers, but every one of us in here, that I will say what God says. And I won't apologize for it, but I will be kind and loving in my delivery of it. We can do that. We can be kind and loving in how we deliver it to the lost. But we can stand boldly as well and not compromise on it. Because there is coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. And we'll get into that next week. But are we willing to take that charge? Some of us in here, maybe we don't even know the Lord is our Savior. We don't know what it means to be saved. None of this matters right now. You won't be enjoying that judgment when He shows up. It won't be good for you. He's going to throw you into the lake of fire. He'll toss you right in. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. If you've never been born again, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. But guess what? Anybody that comes to Him, He says, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. No matter how wicked you are, you could be worse than the woman at the well. And God says, come to me. Come to me. Look and live. Look and live. Look unto Jesus. He'll save you. He'll forgive you.